Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Preezy, the Steezy at Game 3, not going to be at Game 4. So will that change any vibes for the New York Knicks? We'll have to see tonight as we await to get on Andrew Claudio of Knicks Film School, the podcast. You can catch him on Twitter at Andrew J. Claudio. Swags, get him on the horn right now as Knicks and Spurs Game 4. Andrew, good morning. Thanks for hopping on. I know it's a busy week, a busy time for you guys over there. The NBA Finals has been crazy. It's been great. How much do you put on nerves, the president, just kind of all of what Game 3 became on the start of what the New York Knicks were in the first quarter of Game 3?
Well, good morning to both of you, and happy to be here still talking about Knicks basketball in the month of June.
It's been a while.
Yeah, you can say that again. Nerves, slow start. I'd put angst, maybe anticipation could be part of it. The circus that became for the fans, I think, is more why a lot of national people are saying it wasn't the Knicks A-plus crowd. The Madison Square Garden crowd wasn't the best. I also think there's just something to the fact that this wasn't just the Knicks trying to win a third game in the NBA Finals. They were trying to win their 14th game in a row. Like, the team was the most due for a performance like that I think any playoff team had ever been. And they still only lost by 4 points despite so much going wrong at the beginning of the game, the beginning of the third, the foul trouble they got into, the good play by the Spurs. So a lot of factors were involved, and that's more so where I've gone to with what happened in Game 3.
I'm curious where the fan base is at. Like, I feel like we have a lot of similarities, sans market size, of like, hey, we won a championship in the 70s. It's been a long time. Couple of finals appearances, one not really competitive, one more competitive. But, you know, it's been a while since the team has been in the finals. So I'm wondering, like, if I were in your shoes as a Blazer fan in this moment and we're up 2-1, would I feel confident? Would I feel uneasy? Like, is this our – I'm just like, where is the fan base at going into Game 4 knowing a win tonight? You never say never because LeBron did it, and the Spurs are certainly a great team, but very rare that a team comes back from down 3-1 knowing the implications of what a win could mean tonight.
So it's funny. You talk about the history that'll be on your side with a win tonight. And yet, I don't think a single Knicks fan, even after going up 2-0 and the history that's on your side, winning two road games to start the finals, matters. The Knicks PTSD is very real. Every Knicks fan that I've talked to, that I've interacted with, that I might even be part of that crowd, knows what has happened to this fan, to this history, to this franchise, and to this fan base over the years. Look no further than 1 year ago when Tyrese Halliburton broke our hearts in Game 1 of the conference finals. It's just been a long time, and sometimes it hasn't been at all for this fan base to see that the bad thing doesn't happen. And it's why when Wemby's shot in Game 2 missed, it was a reaction from the majority of the fan base. It's like, oh, it didn't go in. That shot actually didn't fall. So I think the focus has now, I can't stress this enough, now that the winning streak's over, you're just back in a series, in a playoff series. And, oh, look, it's the NBA Finals. And this team has played so well for so long that there is a confidence, I think, in most of the fan base that this team will show up, correct a lot of the mistakes that happened in Game 3, and get the job done tonight. And then you're looking at 3-1, including one home game, to become NBA champions. So there is a nervousness because of the laundry list of bad things that have happened to this franchise. But I do think there is at least a spark of confidence that they'll get the job done.
Yeah, Andrew Claudio is our guest here, Knicks Film School podcast, one of the top-ranked, if not the top-ranked, Knicks-based podcasts, doing good stuff over there, joining us here for the NBA Finals preview of Game 4. A lot was said after Game 3. Look, you don't know what the result's going to be tonight, to your point of, like, Is there momentum? Is there not momentum? Knicks fans, they won the first two. Okay, let's see. I don't know who's going to win tonight, Andrew, but is there something or someone that you feel sure will be different in game four?
Well, the very easy answer is Mikal Bridges, because I don't know how you could be worse, or more specifically, less of a factor in game three. I think it's really underrated, and I think the national conversation, I haven't heard it brought up as much. Like, he had two fouls and left the game 3 minutes into the game. The slow start that you talk about the Knicks getting off to, I also thought the fast start that the Spurs got off to was largely contributed to the fact that the Knicks' best point of attack defender wasn't in the game for 9 minutes of the first quarter, and it allowed Steph Castle to get past that first line of defense. It allowed the Spurs to go hunting for Jalen Brunson, because it was Landry Shamet navigating those screens and not one of the best point of attack defenders in the sport. He's also one of the best off-ball defenders in the sport. And oh yeah, he was averaging like 16 points a game since game three of the first round of the playoffs. So as long as Mikal Bridges doesn't get into foul trouble right away and have to leave the game at the beginning and can give you what he's been giving on the offensive side of the ball, I have to think that the Knicks will be in a much better spot. I mean, you can go to Karl Anthony Towns and what he wasn't in the second half compared to what he was in the first half, and hopefully he can put a full game together. The irony is, like, the Jalen Brunson conversation, he's not being efficient, and I think it's largely a credit to the Spurs and how they're guarding him, and specifically how Steph Castle is guarding him very aggressively. It's a reminder of the first round when Jalen was matched up against Dyson Daniels for six games and largely struggled to be efficient in that series. I still think he's shown up every fourth quarter. So he's showing up at the end of games where it matters, and where Captain Clutch, as he's been named here in New York, has been doing his best work. I just listed a bunch of different margins that they lost at in the last games. I think if you just clean it up there, he'll be in better shape. But Mikal Bridges getting 2 points in 29 minutes and five fouls, you missed so much that he had been giving you for a solid 6 weeks in this game. And I have to think, as long as the fouls don't show up again in this one, the Knicks will be in much better shape.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, it's a great point on what he took. Well, lost defensively there at the start of that game. I'm curious, in the aftermath of it, there's always a fine line between the blaming officials or taking onus of the loss. Is there truth on both sides? I actually love what Brown said of, like, you might as well send the message out there, see if it impacts the foul calls in game four. What do we make of just the narrative around officiating, and how much of is that a thing for Knicks fans?
So, I'm going to do my best to be as for your show and unbiased as possible.
Hold on. No.
We don't care.
We got you on the show to be you. I don't care if you're a homer. Be a honk. If you feel that way, let us know.
There is the reaction I had the moment the game ended, the moment that the Knicks picked up. Whichever Nick picked up their fifth foul while the Spurs had one guy get to four last game. There's the fact that they had a pretty terrible whistle in game two. So for them to also have a pretty terrible whistle in game three. I don't think the Knicks have got a great whistle in the finals so far. Do I think the Spurs and do I think the rest have established a baseline perimeter defense that both teams are allowed to play? Yes. I'm sure if I went and rewatched the game, which of course I didn't rewatch game three,
right?
But I'm sure if I did, there would be calls on both sides that I would say, okay, the Knicks got away with that. The Spurs didn't get away with that. I'm trying to be as fair. However, the like Wemby mush of Brunson that wasn't upgraded to a flagrant and was missed in real time after he did it to Jose Alvarado in game two, like, a nothing being done to combat that It's a thing. It is very much a thing. And it's honestly a thing that teams have done to the Knicks over this run. During the Tibbs era, this happened too, where like the Orlando Magic or the Detroit Pistons or other teams would think, hey, we can bully this team. And largely what the Knicks' response has always been is, we'll beat you with the scoreboard. It's why the Pistons were eliminated last year. It's why the Magic, like, if they'll bully the Knicks for one game in the regular season, then lose the next three regular season games against them. And it's what I think the Knicks are going to try and do in this series. Wemby's a little bit of a different obstacle to literally climb in that sense. So I think they're going to have a much more difficult time in doing that. But look, I don't think they've gotten a great whistle. I don't. And the free throw disparity in the second half being 24-8, I'm sorry, that's just not the game that I watched. Was not a game that dictated or spoke to a team needing to have more free throws or shoot or earning more right. free throws in that sense than the Knicks did. It's just, it wasn't the fairest of whistles. I want to be clear, it's not where I thought they lost the game. It's on the list. It's just not the main reason I thought they lost the game.
Is a man who works on the Knicks Film School podcast, if you can't tell.
I mean, that's the way to Andrew say it, Claudio. Though. Like, it's never the primary reason, but I don't think, like,
it's a part of the story.
We're unbiased though. Watching from the West Coast in Portland, Oregon, and even we're yelling at our TV of, like, how, what, this is ridiculous, man.
Well, dude, can I ask you this then? Like, I don't, look. You're right to say it's not why they lost the game, but you are also right to point out, like, the free throw discrepancy is pretty crazy.
How do you not upgrade the Wemby push in the back?
The other thing. We've kind of learned Wemby's a dirty player.
Yes.
He's not, like, the dirtiest player, but,
he's
like,
he's 7'4" Dylan Brooks, dude.
He has these moments where you're like, that was super unnecessary, and we saw it with the Brunson shove. I want to ask you about the physicality of this. Now, I am 39. I'm going to be 40 in December. So I'm in a weird sweet spot age, Andrew, where I have people older than me just talk about nothing but 80s and 90s NBA basketball as if nobody's been better athletes and there's no other era of basketball that will ever compete against it because of physicality. And I'm sitting over here as somebody who coaches youth basketball watching it like, actually, it's faster, it's physical. Like, basketball nowadays is harder to play than it was in the 80s and 90s despite Bill Laimbeer. I think it's even too physical. I think this series has been way too physical for both. Like, we're watching guys constantly shove each other at all times, both ends of the court. And I think it's making it really hard for these refs to officiate and determine, oh, that physicality is different than that other physicality. What do you think physical-wise in this series? Has it been too much, or do you think they've done a relatively good job letting it be as physical as it has been?
Well, first of all, the 7'4" Dylan Brooks is very funny. And what I came up with yesterday on our show was Joel Embanyama. So I don't know if that'll catch on or not. The Knicks have dealt with a center throwing cheap shots in the past. So yeah. Hopefully they send this one home too. You just said it. The arguments I get when I go to like a family function and some of my mom and dad's brothers and sisters, so my aunts and uncles or second cousins that bring up how physical the 90s were or the 80s were. And like, as a Knicks fan, it gets brought up like the Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, like that era of the NBA, the Pat Riley Knicks,
yeah,
and how physical it was. And there were enforcers back then. And the difference today is those enforcers all need to be able to run at a pace that just did not exist back then. They need to be able to shoot threes, a thing that wasn't emphasized as much back then. And you could just have a guy on your team that's just there to rebound. Now you kind of have to be able to play basketball. And I think that's the biggest difference in the eras today. As far as this series is concerned, I'm okay with them letting it play. The last thing I would ever want is for the officials to be deciding games. You know, I do think that it's been a little physical on the Spurs side. It's been allowed to be a little more physical on the Spurs side. Again, trying to be as unbiased as possible, though, the difference is that, like, as dirty as Wemby can be, by 100% agreement, like, he's actually not the, like, most physical defense. Like, Carl Anthony Towns has bullied him in specific spots in this series. Why he's been able to dominate at certain points on the offensive end. I've actually thought Wemby, like when he keeps his hand to himself, is actually like very movable. You know, he's just tall. So it's tough to shoot over him. He's the greatest and most impactful rim protector I've literally ever seen because he's taller than the rim. So the Knicks paint game that they've been really dominating for the first three rounds of the playoffs has disappeared, except when Karl Anthony Towns is matched up with Wemby and he's able to either get by him, which he has been successfully, or when they bring him away from he brings him away from the rim because he's a threat from the outside, and the Knicks are able to be much quicker with their actions and attack a different way. I'd also say that OG Anunoby just has no fear, and so if he sees Wemby guarding him, he will go right at him at the rim, and he's been able to be successful there too. So I'm okay with the physicality. As long as it's like officiated a certain way that both teams are allowed to get away with the same amount, get called for the same amount, and blatant like cross checks to Jalen Brunson's face aren't missed. And I'm hoping we see that in game four.
Yeah, good stuff. Andrew Claudio of Knicks Film School Podcast, getting ready for game four on Twitter at Andrew J. Claudio. Thanks for hopping on with us, man. We appreciate you being flexible with your schedule. Enjoy game four, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Absolutely. Go Knicks.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.